So I want to do another question and answer today, and I hope you're enjoying them as much as I am, and I hope you're learning as much as I am too. So I enjoy that. Here's a question. How should we as Christians respond to the assertion that Muslims, Jews, and Christians worship the same God? Okay? Now, I know that most of us will have an answer or two that would be biblically correct, but I want to tighten it up, button it down a little stronger. Does that make sense? Because you can say, well, we don't serve the same God. But we want to give them a why. Why I believe. Remember, that's apologetics. This is why, this is what I believe, and then this is what? Why I believe it. Yeah. So the short answer is, how should we respond? That Muslims, Jews, and Christians worship the same God. And by the way, those are probably the three, lack of a better term, most populated, lack of a better term, religions on the face of the globe. Muslims with Islam, the Jews who worship a different God than Christians. And we'll get to that. And I'm quoting here pastor who spoke this. He said, quote, someone observed years ago that we live in an age that is supposed to be marked by harmony. I want you to hear that. What is the 11th commandment? That's not really.
Thou shalt be nice.
You know, you understand where that's coming from, because we're living in that age. He goes on to say, obviously it's not, right, living in harmony. But nonetheless, the elites keep telling us everybody's got to get along. And you have to say whatever and believe whatever is necessary to get along and harmonize everything. That's the prevailing attitude. That's a prevailing attitude. I mean, you know that. But the problem is that that attitude at one time crept into the church, but now it was stomping in the very aisles and pulpits of evangelical churches across the world. And we hit on it back when we talked about the God of the Bible in the very beginning. We talked about a concept known as Chrislam. Remember we talked about that? Anybody remember that? Yeah, Christianity and Islam, Chrislam, where a pastor, when I remember his name, I'm going to say his name too, because he's the one who had the that sort of program like that was like in a book that just went a bestseller. Yes, Rick Warren. Thank you. Name the name, Rick Warren, to protect the innocent. Rick Warren had in his pulpit, you'll probably remember this when I tell you, a Bible and a Quran side by side. Remember we taught on that over in that other part? And that looked like that. It was disturbing. It's disturbing even to say it today. A Bible and a Quran side by side. He's preaching from both, talking about Chrislam, 2010, I believe. Can we all just get along? The Rodney King doctrine. He goes on to say, in the Western secular elites, and believe me, there is an elitist group that has absolutely, thank you. And I am somewhat a conspiracy theorist in a point, but I'm also a realist in a point. I'm not, some people are over the top on everything, you know. black man tied a shoe and died. It was arsenic and lace on the black shoe. Don't buy black people don't buy shoestring. You go too far on some things. I'm about to kind of make a joke out of it. But there is, in reality, an elitist group that has money that wields the power. That's real. And I don't usually teach like that, but I think we need to say that. And I believe this Western secular, he said, and the Western secular elites are in a particular urgency of their own collapsing worldview to try to argue that there is no theological claim that could be taken seriously. Meaning, what you believe is no big deal. What do you believe is no big deal? We just meld them all into a big pot. We don't take any claim really seriously for you to be exclusive. That's what's behind that. We used to be so dogmatic in your beliefs. So, now this is me and speaking and end quote, taking seriously. So in the name of the above human secular elitist worldview, it has been said that Christians, Jews, Muslims all worship the same God. Well, the first thing you want to say, how should we respond, is no, we don't. And be emphatic in that. Now, I hope reason I read that intro, remembering Chrislam last year, and the 11th commandment, you can see why, you see this is where we are. Not we, us, but this is what we're fighting, is a better way of saying. Because it's out there in full effect. So when you say, no, we don't, you're going to offend some people. But your attitude ought to be, I don't care. Because better to me be offended than my father's honor be trampled. Amen. Underfoot. Verbally speaking, yeah. No, we don't serve the same God. That's an insult to my father. That's your mother. If somebody said some things about a mother, and the characteristics don't match at all your mother, you are not going to take kindly to them saying, "Well, it's the same mother, same thing." You'd be like, "No, we don't." All that ink town is in her, not instant. All that ink town, the crooked eye. That's in her is gonna come out. And she's gonna bless you real good. Bless you real good. You know what I'm talking about? That's not my mother. And we want to answer in love the best we can with the same dignified response. No, we don't. But it's to be firm. Yes. No, we don't. And our attitude is, I don't care what the secular elitist worldview is. I don't care what's the prevailing attitude throughout the entire world. There is no 11th commandment. Thou shalt be nice. I listen to me. Amen. The central truths of Islam claim this. There is only one God. Muhammad is his prophet, and thirdly, and he has no son. S-O-N. The central truths of Islam are: there is only one God, Muhammad is his prophet, and he has no son. So when you open it up, in the very beginning of the book, the Quran, you run into that. So right away, somebody's lying. Because the God of the Bible has a son, this God doesn't. They're not the same God. Let's look, and I know you know these truths, but that's where you want to start. Let's start with, first of all, God has a son. Amen. I know this is Ice to Eskimos, but as you are taking your notes, you'll have it in a rather concise format. Matthew 16:16. Let's turn there. Matthew 16:16. Now, let me say something. I know that when you pull out the Bible, and the Muslim pulls out the Quran, you are never to get into an argument. You're never to get into an argument. So this is not for that person. You hear me? This is not for that person. If someone comes to you that I'm saying that God is working on, maybe, and there's a chance that that person really is interested in what you are about to say and has a chance to be changed through the Word of God, that is who this is for. This is not for the guy that you pull out your Bible and pull out his. We're not arguing, because that does nothing. He's firm. He or she is firm in their beliefs, and you're firm in yours. Jesus said, take not your pearls, the casting before. Now, I didn't say that. They can know thou shalt be nice. There's no nice in calling folks swine. They give not that which is holy to the dogs. Swine and dogs. He tell you, and he warned you, if you do it, they may trample on that and turn around and tear you up. And so so you listen to the Holy Spirit. My Word of Life, folks. You hear him. Do we even go past this? And if not, we move on. You can state your case. No, we don't. I believe in a different God than you do. We're going to leave it at that. So that person will know, okay, well, this person, he's speaking something totally different, and I just need to leave it alone. They'll leave it alone. They shouldn't keep coming at you. Because now if they do come at you, you can defend them. This is what I believe. And if they keep coming, you follow me?
Yes, sir.
Be led. Holy Spirit will lead you.
Yes,
you remember at the end of your prayer, I think it was on Sunday, you know, Apostle Paul said, and for me, pray that we may minister the word with boldness. And it's not just for pastors.
No.
Pray that for me, but we pray that for you too.
Because
in this day and age, with the prevailing attitude of coexisting, which is really a false peace, remember, what is the first sign of the age of tribulation is going to be what? An age of peace for how many years? Anybody remember?
Seven.
No, 3.5. Then the second 3, going to total 7. First 3.5, very good though. It's peace. Second 3.5 is all out terror and war, mayhem, destruction like the world has never seen. Very good. First thing going to be peace. Can we all just get along? No, we will never get along. Not in this current state. And even when Jesus comes back, when you read at the end of the millennial kingdom, there's going to be multiple, the number of the sands of the sea that's going to rise up against Jesus. We will not get along on this earth. Not all. We will not coexist. If you've seen those, bumper stickers. Yeah. Just with the Star of David and the, you know, and the Islam, the cross, and all kind of things going on. That's a hot mess. Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, remember Jesus was saying, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Who do people say? Some say Elijah, you're this, you're that, John the Baptist. He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? So you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say next verse? Did he bless him because he spoke a falsehood?
No.
He spoke the truth.
Yes.
The Son of the living God. I know you know it, but let's look at it too. John 3:16. Let's look at it. John 3:16. You can go over a ton of verses, but we're just kind of going to go over 3. And that's enough to Remember, no word of God is void of power. So if you read one of them, bam, that's enough. And I had no business in the heart of that particular person. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten who?
Son.
S-O-N. He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He gave his only begotten Son. All right, look at the 17th chapter of John. The 17th chapter of John, verse 1. Holy Spirit speaking through Peter in Matthew 16. The Holy Spirit speaking through the writer, John, in John 3:16. This is Jesus himself speaking about himself. Verse 1. John 17 and verse 1. These words spake who? Jesus. So is it safe to say that Jesus himself is speaking?
Yes.
All right. And lifted up his eyes to heaven and what? Said. Who said?
Jesus
said. The hour has come. Glorify thy Son. That thy Son also may glorify thee. Son. And even if somebody argues, well, that don't mean Jesus is the Son. Well, okay, we'll get to that later. Right now, understand that God has a Son.
Amen.
Who you said he didn't have, he does have.
Amen.
Jesus identifies that God has a Son. He's praying to God and saying, glorify thy Son. So that's the part about God having a Son. That was John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 1. 17, verse 1. Just stop there for a minute. Does that make sense?
Amen.
All right, that makes sense. Right, wait to the next one first. He said, there's only one God. Muhammad is his prophet. And what's the third one?
He
has no son. So we're saying God has a son. But in saying that he has no son, then they don't K-N-O-W. By saying that there is N-O, son, then they don't K-N-O-W the son. They can't know him if he doesn't exist. You follow that?
Amen.
So you see, that's why I love the late, great R.C. Sproul. Just logical thinking. I pray, I thank God he's kind of spilling some of that on me. Just logical thinking. If it's A, then it's A to B, boom, boom. Well, if you don't N-O the son, you can't K-N-O-W the son. Now, we can go to the word with that. Let's turn over to John, the gospel, the 8th chapter. And the 19th verse. Gospel of John, the 8th chapter and the 19th verse. Because the bottom line is, if you don't N-O-W Jesus, you don't N-O-W God.
Amen.
The God that you think you know, you don't know. At least the God you think you know is not the God of the Bible, who's the Father of Jesus. That's the point I'm making. You may know a God, but not the true God.
Amen.
John, what I tell you?
8:19.
Okay. So they were saying to him, Jesus, these other Pharisees, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. See, that's still a word for the Jews and for the Muslims. You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father, comma what? Also. Well, is it safe to put the flip on it? That because you don't know me, you don't know my father? Is that safe? That's not a stretch, is it? That would still be in the realm of our hermeneutics.
Amen.
You don't know Jesus, you don't know the Father. So we can't be serving the same God because we know Jesus and you don't. And by the way, just putting it out there, are y'all focusing? I know this kind of now, but are y'all okay? All right. By the way, putting it out there, not only do we believe that the Jews or the Muslim don't serve the same God, but neither do the Mormons, neither do the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, neither do the Unitarians, you know, who don't believe in a triune God. None of them serve the same God. Let alone Buddhists, Hinduism, Shintoism, Hare Krishna. None of them serve the same God. Now, we sitting here up on each other and we just loving on each other. But what I just said is really just, if I was in politics, it's political suicide. If I was in any sort of social situation, it would be social suicide. Because, and that's why I read the first part first, in the beginning, to set it up that we're in an age of all-inclusivism. Let's all just get along. Let's believe whatever we gotta believe, whatever it is, so that we get along. It's about getting along. That's the goal. No, that is not. That's nowhere even remotely in Scripture. There are so many separations through the commandments of God and the sermons of his prophets and Jesus. There's nowhere in there where they're trying to get along. Who was Jeremiah trying to get along with? When they throwing him, was that the one that threw excrement? I think I told you that. Yeah. Excrement at him. Excuse me for saying it again, but obviously he wasn't getting along with a whole lot of folk. That's rather obvious. They stoned the prophets. They sawed in half others of the people of God. Set others on fire and burned them alive. This is all in Hebrews 11. Crucified Peter upside down, beheaded Paul. Who is it? What are we getting? Where are we just getting? Where is thou son of been? And really, in the natural, they hated Jesus so without a cause, but they absolutely caused him to be violently and brutally murdered after he was tortured first. And then, where is it get along? Remember we spoke under the worldview? Well, these things are coming so fast, these teaching. One we just had not too long ago where we talked about, alien mentality. Alien mentality. Whereas they're not going to love you. They're going to hate you. Remember we talked, Jesus said, don't worry about it because they hated me before they hated you. That's not getting along. If Jesus is warning you that if you follow me, the world's going to hate you. And when they do, don't worry about it because they already hated me. There's nowhere even remotely hinted that we're to live and speak and do to just get along. I know we know this, but hope it's doing it for you the same for me. It's firing me up. Not to go out and be obnoxious, because it still says speaking the truth, what? See, we can't get around that. Can't get around that command. Speak the truth in love. But a lot of us aren't even speaking the truth. I'd rather you speak the truth obnoxiously than and be obnoxious in it. Then we Lord will forgive you than to not speak the truth at all. And that's what's happening. We're not speaking the truth for the sake of keeping up with the commandment that doesn't exist, the 11th commandment. Jesus said, you don't know me, you don't know my Father. Look at John 14. If you don't know N-O Jesus, you can't K-N-O-W him. And if you don't K-N-O-W him, you can't know the God of the Bible. Verse 7, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father, what also? See how the two go together? Is it safe to say then, if you, because you don't know me, you don't know him? Because the one with knowledge of one brings about knowledge of the other. So it's not a light thing, Chris Lam. That's an impossibility. It's not a light thing when they say there is no son. There is no son, or Jesus is an angel, or Jesus is a human. Islam believe that Jesus, well, they do believe in Jesus, by the way, so don't let that throw you. You may already know that, but don't let that throw you, because we'll hear Jesus, like, oh, we, you know. Jesus, they do believe in Jesus. The problem is, he's not the Jesus of the Bible, because their Jesus is a what? Right, meaning of what? What kind? He's a man. Okay?
Let's do a little reminder teaching. And I still apologize to April. She got everything brand new in the package, and I was going to fire her. I'm so sorry, April. Please don't call a fire from heaven on me. Okay? April Lou got it all together. So, we went over this before. Let's go over it again. No. Thank you, Father. So we're going to make a table. We're going to draw a tea table, right? Like a tea. Okay. So we're going to make a tea. And at the top, on the left side, we're going to write eternal. On the right side, created. Okay? On the left side, I'm going to put God, comma, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Created, we're going to write angels and human. There's someone to write in that one, so we'll deal with this. So, eternal beings, this is God, and over here is just created, which is angels and human. But like, some of us want to write in here, but bring it to me if it needs to be. So these beings, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are in essence. Nature and you use the word in being. There's another one I want to put in there too. They are God. So they are eternal and infinite. So in essence, nature, and being, they're God. Okay? So this created over here, I remember now. Thank you, Father. So in the created, we'll do it like this. In the created, yes. We have spiritual and human. Thank you, Father. So this one should probably say God on the eternal. Yeah. So now that's because only one thing to draw here is God. Okay. Yeah, Come on, I messed you all up then. I just messed you all up. I just realized you don't have an erasable board like this. Oh my goodness. Okay, I knew it was something there. Okay. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, this should be pointed to human. Yeah, that's Holy Spirit. I just messed everybody up, I'm sorry. And then here is angels. I think just human, right? I think there's nothing else to do with that. Because humans are not spiritual. They have a spirit, but they're not considered spiritual. They're human. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in, what I tell you, nature,
essence,
being, and character. That's another word. Write that one down. Nature, essence, being, and character. They're God. They're eternal. They are infinite. They are immortal. There's only three beings that belong in this quote-unquote class, like a better term, as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Nobody created them. They always existed. Okay? Over here, no matter, even if they're spiritual, they were still created. Angels were created. They're not eternal. They're created being. Even though they're spirit. Sometimes we get that, not necessarily here, but you hear spirit, you hear angel rather, and you hear spiritual, we tend to almost equate them with God, even though God is spiritual, but he's an eternal spirit.
Amen.
God means eternal. No beginning of days, no end of life. Angels have a beginning of days, even though they're spiritual. No matter how powerful, and even though they exist in the realm of the spirit, doesn't make them in this class of God.
No. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Amen.
And it's good to hear it and hear it and hear it again.
Amen.
Here is why you don't take lightly. We know, I know you heard it before, but hear it again, that Jesus ain't no Jesus, or you know, even though we got the same Jesus, you gotta do your homework. What Jesus are you talking about? Because the Jesus of the Bible is God. He's eternal, immortal, invincible, infinite. What, let's start with the Jehovah's Witnesses. What they've done, and I think so has the Mormons. They both believe that, in other words, they've taken Jesus out of here, out of this class, and stuck him over here. Even, and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses count him as an angel. Whereas Islam counts him as just another human being. Can you see why that's blasphemous? Mm-hmm. He no longer is God. He's a created being. Someone that has a beginning of day. Someone who is dependent on somebody else to subsist and exist. That's not Jesus. Not of the Bible. That's not a light thing. Whether you deny him altogether or whether you reclassify him, his nature, his essence, his being, and his character. He is God.
Amen.
Does that make sense, my word of life, people?
Yes. Amen.
So it's not a light. So when we say that neither do the Mormons, neither do the Jehovah's Witnesses, neither do Islam, and the Jews, because the Jews believe that Messiah hasn't come yet. Hasn't even come. He's come, died, shed the blood. They say, well, he ain't. And that was just another dude. You don't know me, you don't know the Father. You can't know me if you stuck me over here somewhere. Whether you stuck me here, or whether you stuck me here, either way, you can't know me, because that's not me. All I keep seeing in this April is somebody trying to reclassify your mom and give us attributes and a characteristic
and explain to you that her nature and her essence is something other than what you know her to be, you're going to tell her, that's not my mother. Mm-hmm. Period. And you're going to be firm and you're going to be adamant. You will not waver. Well, do I really say this? Get along. No! No way. And I hope seeing that example kind of earthly, I said, man, that's not even, you wouldn't even think twice about that. Even if your mama was crazy. Like, I'm still going to defend my mama. You're not going to talk about my mama like that. In fact, you keep talking, I'm going to show you just how that I was saved from sin. But you know, I wasn't always saved, so you better watch out. I might have a relapse. May have a relapse. Dude, brother, better watch out. Am I right?
Yes.
Same thing.
Amen.
You don't take it lightly. That's not my Jesus. It's not the Jesus who God tells us about, the Father, that is. Unto us, a son is, a child is born, but a son is given. Because he's eternal. You only can give the son. Can't bore, make him born. That's bad English, but you know what I'm saying? Because eternal. That's what Islam doesn't understand. They ask the question, how can God die? How can God have a child? Did he go with them? Because they're thinking in the natural. Did he, you know, have some sort of spiritual sex? I think somebody Muslim, I think it's the Mormons, some sort of weird sex with the mother God or something, and out came Jesus. They got some really twisted, multi-God thing going on in the Mormon. That's a scary, demonic situation. You want to link up with that? No, God didn't die, but the Son of God did.
Amen.
He died because his humanity, in which he was wrapped around, is what died. Amen. He didn't die. God can't die.
Amen.
And that's what you walk through that and explain that. You tell them, you, although the difference between your spirit, sir or ma'am, and the spirit of God is that yours has a beginning and his doesn't.
Amen.
But when Jesus came to this earth, it was the spirit of God wrapped in flesh.
Amen.
It's your spirit wrapped in flesh too. So when you die, your spirit goes on to wherever it's going to go. But your flesh dies. Yes, so your spirit never died. God's spirit, who Jesus is God in essence. That spirit never died.
Amen.
How can God die? He can't die. Well, what is this Jesus? Then you got to break it down. Walk him through it. Your flesh dies. His flesh died. Your spirit lives. His spirit lives. But remember, his has always been. So you got to make that distinction too. But I'm saying to try and explain to them, because I've heard that question asked, how can God die? How can God have a son? He didn't birth a son. It's always existent. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's what ignorance, profound ignorance will do. But if somebody comes to you and they really want to hear this, you'll be able to teach them. And God will use your ministry to them to bring them to Christ Jesus. A day will come. And we'll be prepared. We're going to finish up with this next week. And we'll go into another question. Father God, we thank you, Father, for the Son of God. And we thank you for God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. You are eternal. You are the only wise God. To you be majesty, dominion, glory, and power, both right now and forevermore. In Jesus, the Son of God's name, we say thank God.
Thank God.
And amen.
Amen.